know you ought to get a lot of bread. Yeah. Woke me up this morning. I don't know about you. And I don't know what you come to do. But I just praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Mm, praise the Lord. I could just shout and go on home.
All right.
Amen. Think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. My soul.
Hallelujah.
Raise some people up off their sick bed.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. They can testify.
I'm a witness.
Woo.
Yeah.
What a marvelous God we serve. Amen. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning.
On behalf of Reverend Darrell LaRue Armstrong.
Thank you,
God. Yeah. My pastor.
Amen.
And my church. Praise the Lord. I am happy to be here. I am happy that our pastor trusts us enough to feed his flock.
Amen.
Amen. Give your pastor a round of applause because he is truly a man of God. Yes, he is. Amen. I'm going to try not to be before you long. Okay. As I tell my Sunday school class, I'ma try to be quick. But you know you don't give a preacher a mic. Amen? But if you guys say, preach, Sister Peach, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, we'll get out of here. Amen?
Amen.
If you have your word with you, please stand with me. And I'm in 2 Samuel 16, 13, 23. And then I'm going to go over to, 1 Samuel, I'm so sorry, 1 Samuel 16, 13 through 23. Then I'm going to go over to 1 Samuel 17, 55 through 57. Okay. 1 Samuel 16, 13 through 23. And then we're going to skip over to 1 Samuel 17, 55 through 57.
Amen?
That works.
And most of you guys are familiar about with the person I'm going to talk about this morning. Most of us know David. We've heard some things about David.
Amen.
And my class, let me see the hands of my students. You guys sure enough know David. Amen. Amen. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit, somebody say Spirit,
Spirit.
Of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. He then went to church. Amen?
Amen.
Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendant said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre. He will play with when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey, loaded it with bread and skins of wine, and the young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. Now we drop down to 1 Samuel 17:55 to 57. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistines, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, your majesty, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul. And David, still holding the Philistine's head, "Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. And David said, "I am the son of your servant, Jesse of Bethlehem."
Amen.
Pray with me on this title. You're next in line.
Amen.
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 Do you believe? You're
Amen.
Next in line.
Amen.
Father God, we come before you, thanking and praising you and glorifying you and magnifying you and lifting you up because you're worthy to be praised.
Amen.
From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name, Father, is worthy to be praised. Now, Father, hide me behind the cross. Let them not see Diane Holloway.
Yeah.
Father, let them not see flesh, but let them see your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
And what you have to say to them. Speak to your people, Father, and we will forever give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's a sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There's a sweet expression on his face, and I know of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, oh, stand right here with us, filling us with your love, and for these blessings we will lift our hands and pray. Without a doubt, we will know that we have been revived when we shall leave. Oh Lord, when we shall leave this place. Put your hands together and pray for us. With a sweet, sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Ever since grade school, you dreamed of that ideal job. You may have desired to become someone great on the stage of life. A doctor, a lawyer, football player, teacher, entrepreneur, wife, a mother. You fill in the blanks. All your life, you have prepared for the role, studying, practicing, rehearsing your craft. Some have even taken odds and ends jobs to pay for the education that would lead them to their end goal. Everybody knows you have talent. They can see it on you. You have been told you breathe something unique into every role you play. Some folks often recommend you for various positions in your skilled area. You may not get paid, but they recommend you. And even though the pay is little, you figure you can use the experience while you're waiting for your dream job. Amen? Am I talking to anybody in here? Finally, you get the call. It's not a leading role now, but it's a job. You're in the field of interest, and you're in a promising location. You are moral, upright, hardworking, and you believe you can make a difference.
All right.
Amen.
You can make a contribution. So you give it your best. You're the understudy. For some, being the understudy in life is less glamorous. We're talking about waiting in the wings while someone else lives your dreams. Amen?
Amen.
It is a thankless job waiting in the wings. But how many in here know God allows us to see how the job is supposed to be performed while we're waiting? Amen? The wings can be a safe place to obtain the skills you cannot learn from books. Under the protective shadows of his wings, you can refine your craft. Sometimes God will place you in a position so he can hide you until you learn what mistakes not to make.
All right.
Amen?
Come on.
Come on.
Sometimes, one in the lead role may be appointed, but not anointed for the position.
All right.
Then when God promotes you to the lead, you'll have longevity because you'll know what not to do. Amen? Being the wingman or the wing woman is not the ultimate goal, but it's not a bad place to stop. When you're on your way to the top.
Yeah.
Does somebody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Somebody in here knows what I'm talking about. Don't despise small beginnings.
Yeah.
This is the position David is operating in.
Come on, guys.
David is King Saul's wingman.
All right.
He's anointed, but not appointed.
Yeah.
All right.
But he's next in line.
Yeah.
Amen.
All
right. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Most believe this was because whenever David sinned, he was quick to repent and ask for forgiveness. And some of us need to follow that model. I admire David because whenever he was going to do anything, he would consult God before making a move. He was particularly cautious and constantly in God's face during the times of war. However, there is something else we need to know about David.
All right.
Amen?
Amen?
David was a powerful, chosen, and anointed man of God.
All right.
Ladies, if you don't know, you better ask somebody. There's nothing like being covered by an anointed man of God.
Amen.
Now, I know what's going through your mind, but I'm talking about Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Sitkanu, my battery, I'm talking about God.
Yeah.
There's nothing like Jesus covering you. Amen?
Amen?
Jehovah Rapha, he's my healer. Jehovah Shalom, he's my peace. The scripture says, so Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David.
All right.
I used to tell God, when I was young and dumb, I used to tell God I didn't need the anointing. Just let me know where it is and I'll get up under it.
All right.
Because I understood one thing, that the anointing runs down on the beard of Aaron. And if you get just some drops, you're blessed. Amen?
Amen.
God, let me take some time. Let me talk about the anointing. Amen?
Amen.
God, with the blood of Jesus, seals every born-again Christian with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We all sitting here, if we believe in Jesus Christ, have a portion of the anointing. Every spirit-filled child has God anointing upon their life. And some have higher levels than others. Paul tells us we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. Not all of us appear as though we had the anointing to some people.
All right.
Because many times humanity judges us by our outward appearance. A book is often, they say, judged by its cover. Not realizing some people operate undercover. I'm going to move right on. It is what's on the inside that matters most to God.
Amen.
How many know looks can be deceiving? And everything that look good ain't good for you. Amen?
Amen.
Samuel, after God had rejected Saul, was sent to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons as king. Even the prophet thought Eliab, David's older brother, was the one to be anointed because Eliab apparently looked like a king. He was tall, he was dark, and he was handsome.
All right.
Just like Saul. God said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him."
All right.
Because the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Yes.
Amen? Can I get a witness?
Amen.
God may choose the one who has the scent of smelly sheep on them. Amen?
Amen.
He may choose the one who may not appear as smart as most of us. Or the one with no letters behind your name.
Amen?
Amen. The person God chooses could be one who has some dirt on them from the field. You know those folk. You know the kind of folk that got dirt on them from the field. The hookers, the drug addicts, the gangsters. You know the type. Some of those titles that we used to wear, but we don't wear them anymore. Amen? And now we're sitting crying out. Amen? My auntie calls them those rocks who will cry out when others won't praise him.
All right. Amen. Amen.
Do we have some rocks in here who's willing to cry out? He or she may not be tall and have the right complexion. We may think they are too short and ruddy for the position. But to God, there is no prescribed race, creed, or gender to fit the job description. Somebody ought to give the Lord a praise right along in there. Because that covers all of us. Amen? God is not a respecter of person. God says we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because God, guess what, is a spirit. And when he looks on us, he only sees the righteousness of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You look at me and see one thing. God looks at me and sees the righteousness of Jesus. Amen. Beloved, believe me. What man looks for in you neither qualifies you nor nullifies the fact that God has anointed and appointed you to be blessed. And how many here knows that you are blessed to be a blessing? Amen? And you are thinking, as a matter of fact, some of us, and not here in Shiloh, but at some other church. Okay, let me clarify this. As a matter of fact, they may be sitting next to their next blessing and thinking in their mind, you know, I want to change my seat. Not here in Charlotte, all right? Right. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss your blessing. Don't miss your blessing getting up, moving around. Don't miss your blessing. When you are anointed and have God's blessing, you can do unbelievable things. After the first anointing took place among the brothers, David killed a lion and a bear. God's first tests believers with small things before they are promoted to bigger things. You can find that in Luke 16:10. After his success in killing the lions and the bears, David overcame the supernatural battle by killing Goliath. David took down Goliath with a slingshot and a rock. The enemy had taunted God's people daily, every 4 hours, for 40 days and for 40 nights. But none were brave enough to confront the giant.
All right.
There are some things in our lives that we just don't want to face. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
We know we should go to the doctor and deal with the issue or the pains that we're having, but we don't want the negative report. Amen?
Right.
We know that we do not need to sit under that boss that's cussing and fussing and carrying on, but we need the job. And we're too afraid of losing the job, therefore, we step in flesh. Some of us have difficult children and spouses and some knuckleheads that just will not leave us alone.
Amen.
The truth is, our giants always appear bigger than they really are. The enemy has a way of making us think you can't take him down. But I come to tell you that he's already been defeated. Amen? Already been defeated. David faced and talked to his giants. David said to Goliath, "You come with swords, spears, and javelins, but I come in the name of the Lord." Amen? And we need to talk to our giants. "No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am the head and not the tail. Get behind me, Satan."
That's right.
I'm blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah, somebody. You need to catch this. Amen? You need to catch it. You can talk about me all you please, but guess what? I'm going to talk about you when I get on my knees. Somebody need to speak to the devil and speak to the devil like you are armed and ready for warfare.
Yeah.
Beloved, it is not easy operating in God's anointing. The anointing gives you favor, and favor ain't fair. How many know favor ain't fair? You're going to have some haters with favor on your life.
Uh-huh.
Most times you will be embroiled in one battle after another.
Yes.
That's when you know that you're walking in God's favor.
All right.
This is spiritual warfare, and the adversary knows how to fight. Paul tells us that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh.
Uh-huh. Yes.
For our weapons are not carnal, but they are through God to the mighty pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
And you must be willing to enter the war knowing that the battle is not yours.
That's right.
It's the Lord's. Amen.
Yes, yes.
It's the Lord's.
Amen.
The adversary is always on his job.
Yes.
The adversary will come against you when he knows that you're in a blessing is coming
Amen.
Your way. He sees the blessing before you do.
Yes.
He is going to try and stop what God has for you. When you operate in God's anointing, you will be successful.
Amen.
For where the Holy Spirit is, there is prosperity.
Yes.
Things begin to come alive when the Holy Spirit is present.
All right.
Somewhere I read in the Bible that Jesus sat his disciples down on a patch of green grass in a desert, in a dry place.
Amen.
And it was green. If you're not who the people think God should be using, they will begin to question who, why, and what you're doing. They'll question you and everyone around you. Who or what gives him or her the power and authority to do what they're doing? Haters, they smile in your face. And all the time, trying to take your place. Goliath the king asked the question three times, "Who is this young man?" One may think this is a strange question, since David served in the palace as King Saul's armor bearer, and he played the music to calm the king when he was disturbed by the evil spirit.
Right.
And David had just killed Israel's greatest threat. One would think the king would be grateful, not baffled. He and his entire army had been insulted for 40 days and 40 nights. Moreover, neither the king nor his general or any other under his command was willing to go out and fight the giant.
All right.
This young man, inexperienced lad, who rejects the protection of the king's armor, kills the giant with a slingshot and a rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And brings the head to the king. Mm. Now you know David's bad.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
He used a military weapon and skills that were perfected by King Saul's family. You may not know this. King Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And in the book of Judges, it says that among Benjamin's elite troops, 700 were left-handed, and each of them could sling a rock and hit a target within a fraction without missing. Now, that's some skills. David was from the tribe of Judah. David was from the tribe that worshiped, not warred. David was a shepherd who played a harp and wrote love songs. Who is this man? Beloved, don't be discouraged in doing what God has anointed you to do when people question what, why, and who authorized you to do what you're doing. I read over in Luke that people questioned Jesus' authority to do what he was doing in the kingdom. The disciples told Jesus, the leaders were amazed and disturbed that Jesus' ability to do the miraculous works he was performing. The people could not accept Jesus as who he said he was, the Messiah. Then they said he was John the Baptist or Elijah, some other Jeremiah, some other prophet. For them, Jesus had to be one of those prominent messengers from God who had died in return.
All right.
But Jesus asked his disciples, those who traveled closely with him. And sometimes you have to turn around when people are bringing you news about what people are saying about you. You need to turn around, especially if they're your friends, and ask them, what did you say?
That's right.
Who do you say I am? Amen?
Amen.
But the impetuous Peter, the one who could catch you. Look at him. He could catch you. Peter, the disciple who denied knowing Jesus three times.
Wow.
Peter, who under anointing of the Pentecost, preached and brought 3,000 souls into the kingdom. Peter, who was always opening his mouth and speaking out of tongues, got a revelation that day and said, you are the Christ.
Yes.
And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter. Saul, who knew David as a songwriter and a sheep herder, was just as perplexed about David as the people in Philippi were about Jesus. Jesus was Joseph's son, Mary's baby. You know him. We all know him. You know? A simple carpenter.
Wow.
He could not be the anointed one. Have you ever thought you knew somebody? I mean, really knew the person. You know? You may have heard stuff about them, but then you got to know who they are, and you kind of relegate them over into a corner somewhere. Because I know them, you know, I know them. You know, they're not about anything, you know. They may have been around you and have formed some solid opinions. You've formed some solid opinions concerning them. Then the individual does something so miraculous that that's really beyond what you thought they were capable of doing.
All right.
It's so amazing that you scratch your head and ask, who is this person? I thought I knew them. After David killed Goliath, Saul found himself pondering about David's true identity. Beloved, don't underestimate people, because you never know what God is going to do. God can use them. Amen?
Amen.
He said, touch not the anointed. Do that prophet no harm. You don't know who is the anointed and who is the prophet. Because God see the end thing, not the beginning.
Yes.
Saul did not seek God about David. He asked his general and instructed his general to ask around. However, had Saul been in his right mind, he would have realized that David had the power of miracle to do miracles because he was anointed. Beloved, like David, we are all anointed to bring down the giants in our lives. Do you believe it?
Yes.
I tell you, church, the anointing makes the difference. No negative report, no sickness in your body, no negative boss, no food, table without food, no drugs, no children on drugs, no diabetes, no depression, no arthritis, no cancer, no diabetes, no heart disease, no misease, nothing.
Come on now.
No cantankerous worker can stand up against the anointing. And we need to be bold about this thing. Amen?
Amen.
Beloved, when you want God to bless you, there is no room for doubt. Doubt is a sin that causes you to be double-minded. A double-minded person is unstable in all his ways.
That's right.
Doubt cancels out the anointing. I don't care how bad something looks. You must believe and not doubt. You must have faith. Barak doubted Deborah over when she said, you need to go into the battle. He hesitated. God told Deborah, tell Barak, because he doubted, his military honor will go to a woman. Thomas was one of the 12 disciples. He doubted the resurrection. He was like some of us. Only what we see, we will believe. Yeah. Amen? Seeing is believing. God told Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe. Amen? Beloved, I come to tell you that you are anointed and appointed. You are blessed and highly favored. God is calling us to make a shift in our thinking. But some of us want to hang on to that old Saul mentality, that old Saul regime, that old Saul government, that old Saul leadership. Don't continue to pledge your allegiance to Saul. He's in a position, but he has no power.
All right.
Stop parading around as a king of your own destiny. And some of us do that so well. Recognize that God is shifting from Saul and moving to David.
Yeah.
What does David represent? David represents praise and worship. In order to perfect the anointing and go to the next level in your life, God is saying you must turn yourself into worshipers. How many worshipers do we have here in the house? How many know they're anointed? How many know they want the blessing? You got to become worshipers instead of sovereign over your own throne. He wants you to worship yourself through trials. He wants you to worship yourself through tribulations.
Yeah,
he wants you to worship yourself through persecution.
Yeah.
Because when you worship God, he comes into your situation.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Whenever God says he's going to bless you, do believe there's a process.
Yeah.
Before you take the position.
Come on, come on.
David was anointed for the position, but he went back to tending the sheep. He had never been a king, so God provided an on-the-job training opportunity for David. Some of us can take a lesson from David. Don't get ahead of God. Wait on him. Wait until he promotes you. When he promotes you, you have staying power. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you are anointed for elevation. You have been an understudy for a long time. You have been rehearsing the part, but someone else is playing the part. You are waiting in the wings for the day, for your day to come.
Yeah.
I am here to let you know you're next.
Amen.
And some people will have to shift out of your way. The people who have gotten in your way will be moved because they are not good in the role. You have been appointed and anointed for the position. As a musician once said, roll over Beethoven, give Tchaikovsky a chance. Hey, turn to someone right now.
I'm Tchaikovsky, give me a chance.
Hallelujah, somebody. Woo. I'm anointed and have been rehearsing for a long time. Beloved, you ought to make up your mind today that no demon in the outhouse, the White House, the church house, my house, or any other house will stop the anointing from coming to your house. Amen?
Amen.
God's going to bless you. Why? Because you're next in line. You are the anointed one for the position. Anointed to give and to get power. Power to walk right. Power to talk right.
Yeah, yeah,
power
yeah.
to love those who despitefully use you. Power to love your enemies. Power to fight frustration. Power to fight irritation. Power to face your giants. All I'm right. talking about Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
God filled power. Yeah. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. I'm going to praise him until I get to my next level. I'm a worshiper. I don't know about you. But I want the power of the Holy Ghost. I want the power to teach right. I want the power to talk right. I want the power to pray right. I want God's Holy Ghost power. Is anybody here with me? Do you need the power? Come on, put your hands together because you're next in line. You're next in line. Yes, you are. Hallelujah, somebody. I serve a wonderful, a magnificent, a mighty God. He pulls down strongholds. He sits high and he looks low and the eyes go to and fro. I don't have to worry about what's going on. God's got it. How many know God's got it? How many know he has it? Yeah. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. And he's my end. He's my first and he's my last. He's my very, 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 very best friend. He's a burden bearer, a heavy load sharer, a doctor and a lawyer. He's a bridge over troubled water. Somebody say he's a lily of the valley. He's a bright and morning star. He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to get a lot of praise. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. I know he's worthy. Yeah. And you're next in line.